In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. By thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Your devout attention is now directed to the reading of the Passion History of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as this has been compiled according to the four evangelists. The fifth scripture lesson. And the whole multitude of them arose and bound to Jesus, and led him away from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and delivered him to Pontius Pilate the governor, and it was early. Then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself, and burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And the chief priests took the silver pieces, and said, It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel, and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And the Jews themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them, and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die. And they, the chief priests and elders, began to accuse him of many things, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus stood before him and answered, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. Hearest thou not? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Here endeth the fifth scripture lesson. Let us now sing hymn 144. The sixth scripture lesson. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. Now at the feast, the governor must of necessity release unto the people a prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in a certain sedition made in the city. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire Pilate to do as he had ever done unto them. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ, the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded and moved the people that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas. Pilate, therefore willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ, the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him! Crucify him! And he said unto them the third time, Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified! And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. Here endeth the sixth scripture lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this evening is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 18, verses 33 to 38, and reads as follows. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, as the Lord Jesus was presented before the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, he did not appear to be much of a king, or at least not any kind of a king with much of any power. But what Pilate did not realize was that standing before him in great humility was his Maker, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the only begotten Son of God himself. As true God, Jesus is the all-powerful King of heaven and earth. Everything in the entire universe is under his authority and control. That is what we refer to as his kingdom of power. Additionally, Jesus is the supreme ruler of his church on earth, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. That is what we refer to as his kingdom of grace, since we are made members of it by his grace through faith in his grace. Jesus also reigns over all his saints in heaven for all eternity, and that is known as the kingdom of glory, since it will be a most glorious, blessed existence for us Christians for all eternity in the joys and glories of heaven. In our text for today, Jesus testified before Pilate that he is the king of all those who hear his voice and believe the truth that he brings. Again, that is his kingdom of grace. Let this then be the theme for our meditation today, how the God-man, Jesus Christ, is the King of his church. On the basis of our text, we shall first consider the point that Pilate questioned Jesus as if he were only a mere man. And secondly, that Jesus testified to his divine nature by declaring himself to be the heavenly King of all those who hear his voice of truth. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. As you'll remember from last week, the Jewish Sanhedrin had declared Jesus to be guilty of blasphemy and worthy of death according to the Old Testament political law. The Jewish High Court, however, was unable to carry out the death sentence, because the Jews were under Roman control, and the Romans reserved the right to execute criminals guilty of capital crimes for themselves. So, in order that Jesus might be put to death, the Jews brought Jesus to Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea. They then demanded that he give the order to have Jesus put to death. And since they were Romans and the Jews were not Roman citizens, Jesus would be crucified. Of course, the Jews knew that Pilate wouldn't even care, being a Roman, that Jesus had blasphemed the God of the Jews. So then they invented more lies, different charges, ones that Pilate might take seriously. They told Pilate that Jesus was stirring up rebellion, inciting the people to take up arms against the Romans. Of course, he never did that. They accused Jesus of forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar. Jesus never did that. In fact, he told the people to pay their taxes. And they accused him of making himself a king. And as we'll see as we go through our text, Jesus is a king. But still, their lie was that he was setting himself up as an earthly king that would be a rival to Caesar. Now, as Jesus stood before the Roman governor, he did not look like someone who was setting himself up as a king. However, based on the accusation of the Jews, Pilate did ask him about that, if that was true, that he was making himself a king. Our text tells us, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Pilate clearly thought it was strange that the Jews, with their religious leaders, would deliver over one who was claiming to be the king of the Jews and demanding that he be crucified. Pilate certainly knew that the Jews resented being under the Roman rule. If Jesus were the king of the Jews, you would expect the Jews to rally around him and argue that Pilate should release him. But that was not the case. So the Jews weren't treating Jesus as their king. Pilate certainly didn't regard Jesus to be a king. But still, in light of the charges brought by the chief priests against Jesus, Pilate did want to figure out what was going on, what Jesus had done to turn his people against him. If Pilate only knew that he actually was talking to the Almighty God, the King of the universe, well, then he would not have questioned the kingship of Jesus, nor would he have dared to give that sarcastic answer, "Am I a Jew?" But he would have fallen down quaking in fear before the Almighty Son of God, begging for mercy. But he obviously considered Jesus to be merely a man, and a weak one at that, since he seemed to be unable to stop his enemies from doing him harm and condemning him to death on the flimsiest of charges. Clearly lies. We shall see, as our text continues, that Jesus is going to identify himself to Pilate as a true king, though not an earthly one. But even after hearing that testimony, Pilate still dismisses the Savior's words, saying, "What is truth?" Again, the Roman governor had no concept at all about the true nature, the divine and kingly nature of the man whom he was questioning. Concerning his kingly office, Jesus told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence," not from here, not from the earth. Notice that Jesus does say that he has a kingdom, hence he is a king. But he says that this kingdom, the kingdom of grace, his holy Christian church on earth, the communion of saints, is not of this world. It's in the world, but it's not of the world. It's not a worldly kingdom. It doesn't deal with worldly affairs. It doesn't advance a political agenda. And Christ the King is not like worldly kings. He didn't have a large palace or a throne. He didn't have soldiers and armies to defeat other nations in battle and levy taxes upon them. Nothing like that at all. Christ's kingdom, of which you and I are a part of by faith, is the kingdom of true believers. It is described in Scripture as being an invisible kingdom. Earlier in Jesus' public ministry, the Pharisees had asked him when the kingdom of God should come, thinking that the kingdom of God had not yet come, and believing that when it would come, it would be a visible thing, plainly noticeable. And to that question, Jesus responded this way: "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And since only God can look into the heart and see whether or not a person is a true believing Christian, we humans can't see that. We humans are unable to know for certain who is and who is not a member of this kingdom. And that's why it's called an invisible kingdom. In this kingdom, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, Christ rules over the hearts of his true believers. And he rules over our hearts through his word. His holy gospel filling our hearts with love for him and a desire to do his will. And his holy law showing us what works are good and well-pleasing in his sight. We Christians, as members of his kingdom, are happy, joyous in our service of our King. We serve him cheerfully through the new man of faith, and we sincerely pray with the psalmist, "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." Jesus told Pilate in our text that he did not have to worry about his servants storming the palace and physically fighting to set him free. That would be the mark of an earthly kingdom, not Christ's spiritual kingdom. The members of Christ's kingdom fight spiritual battles, not physical ones. They're real battles, spiritual battles against temptations, against spiritual enemies, against sin and false doctrine. The Apostle Paul writes in his second letter to the Corinthians, "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And as we read in the Old Testament book of the prophet Zechariah, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." The kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of the Messiah foretold in the Old Testament scriptures, was never supposed to be an earthly kingdom. That fact, however, was not understood by most of the Jews at the time of our text. The religious leaders of the Jews at that time had misled the people to think that when the Messiah would come, he would be an earthly king who would deliver them from the Romans. In John chapter 6, we learn that after feeding 5,000 people in a miraculous way, that the people who observed the miracle tried to take Jesus by force to make him a king. But he departed from them into a mountain himself alone. It was clearly not Jesus' desire to be an earthly king. But sadly, this fact is misunderstood even by many Protestants today, who are looking forward to Jesus being an earthly king in an imagined kingdom yet to come that they call the millennial kingdom. They teach that in the millennium, there will be a 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. in which the believers are delivered from physical persecutions in this world and treated like nobility under Christ, who sets up a physical throne in the city of Jerusalem. But such millennialists repeat the same error of the Jews of Jesus' day. They have their spiritual focus blurred by earthly considerations, worldly dreams. They need to take to heart what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians, namely, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. While denying that he is an earthly king, Jesus does clearly tell Pilate in our text that he is a king. We read, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king, which means it is as you say, I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Jesus says that he came into the world, was born as a true human being in order to be a king. He is the anointed of God. That's what the names or the titles Christ and Messiah literally mean. The anointed one. So yes, he's anointed to be a king. Anointed with the Holy Ghost without measure. However, this king, the Almighty God of heaven and earth, is so gracious that he came into this world not to be served by his subjects. Rather, he came to serve us, to lay down his life for his servants. Referring to himself as the Son of Man, Jesus told his disciples, The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, did not come to be served, but to minister, to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Yes, the Lord Jesus, our King, became our substitute under the law, keeping all of God's law perfectly for us, suffering the punishment of the law, the torments of hell, when he suffered and died on the cross. St. Paul writes in his letter to the Galatians, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, which is the punishment of hell, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. When Pilate asked Jesus if he were a king, Jesus replied, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So Jesus says that he came into this world to tell the truth, to testify to God's word of pure truth, the only saving truth. But that is exactly what Jesus' enemies did not want to hear, and what caused them to hate him so. On another occasion, earlier in the Gospel of John, this is in John chapter 8, Jesus told them, Ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. And again, ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. In contrast to those unbelievers, the members of Christ's church, his kingdom of grace, are those who do hearken to the voice of his word of truth. Thus Jesus told Pilate that everyone who is of the truth heareth his voice. You and I, as members of his kingdom of grace, hear his voice of truth and follow it. To hear his voice of truth certainly means much more than just hearing with our ears. It doesn't mean to hear with the ears and ignore with the heart. Nor does it mean merely to hear with the ears and then fail to apply what we hear to our lives. Remember how the Apostle James exhorts us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. So, if anyone plainly states that he does not want to hear the voice of Christ, or makes it clear that he has no intention of following the clear word of God, then it is certain that such a person is not a member of Christ's kingdom of grace, but is instead, as Jesus describes him, an heathen man and a publican. Thus Jesus told the unbelieving Jews, "If I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." The Jews of those days were blessed in having the Old Testament scriptures handed down to them through the generations, and they were exceptionally blessed at the time of our text. They had had the Lord Jesus walking among them, preaching and teaching and doing miracles over the course of 3 years. And yet most of them rejected his words. We Christians in this congregation are exceptionally blessed. We have the Word of God taught to us in its full truth and purity. Let us be sure never to follow in the ways of those unbelieving Jews and turn away from Christ's voice of truth. The Roman governor Pontius Pilate was also greatly blessed in having the opportunity to speak with the Lord Jesus. Though Pilate only considered him to be a weak human being, the governor was privileged to be speaking to one who was far more powerful than he was, far more powerful than Caesar, the all-powerful God. But sadly, when Jesus identified himself as the King of Heaven, who came to bear witness of the truth, Pilate simply dismissed his words, saying, "What is truth?" And is that not the common response that we often hear from the children of this world? When we testify to the truth, when we try to bring them the word of the Savior, they'll very often dismiss God's word, saying, "That's your version of the truth. That's not my truth. What is truth?" So may God keep us from ever adopting that terrible attitude of Pilate, questioning the existence of pure truth, as this has been recorded for us in the Bible. Rather, let us cling to the words of Christ himself when he says, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Yes, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we Christians have been brought into Christ's church, his kingdom of grace here on earth, and we have as our final goal another kingdom, not an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly one. The redemptive work of the God-man, Jesus Christ, not only purchased for us a loving relationship with God in this life, but also secured for us eternal life in heaven, in that kingdom of glory, where we shall live in eternal happiness and bliss, praising our God and King with endless songs of joy. So let us be ever thankful that God has brought us into his kingdom by faith, and gratefully live in his service, in the service of our Lord and King, who laid down his life for our salvation. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Receive, O God, the thank offering which we now place before Thee. We realize, O Lord, that all things belong to Thee, and that Thou hast made us caretakers of the temporal blessings Thou hast entrusted to us, to use according to Thy will. We pray that Thou wouldst bless these offerings for Thy mercy's sake. Amen. Let us rise to pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, Thou great physician of our souls, we adore Thy love and praise Thy compassion for us poor lost sinners, who because of our sinfulness, even from our mother's womb, deserve nothing but Thy wrath and displeasure, death and damnation. We praise Thee for Thy bonds and stripes, Thy crown of thorns and painful cross, Thy bitter agony and death, in that Thou who knewest no sin, wast made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Thee. May our meditation on Thy holy passion give us an abiding sense of our own unworthiness and of Thy surpassing grace, that being distressed by our sins, we may be comforted by Thy merit. O Christ, Thou patient Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, do not forsake us in whatever adversity and distress may come upon us in this world. And as Thou hast loved us, even so may we, withdrawing our affection away from the world and from all worldly pleasure, love Thee above all things, and gladly tell others about Thee and Thy wondrous love for us and for all mankind. As by our sins, O patient Savior, we have made Thee to suffer extreme agony of body and soul, pardon our transgressions, and strengthen us by Thy grace in every conflict and temptation, that we henceforth may earnestly strive to sin no more. By Thine example, help us to be patient with our fellow men, even our enemies, for whom Thou didst shed Thy blood, and not to return evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, doing good even to those that hate us, and remembering those in our prayers who have turned themselves against us. O dear Lord Jesus, how great was Thy humiliation for us, how distressing Thine agony, how painful Thy stripes and wounds, how heavy were the sins of the world as they lay upon Thee, how great and how crushing was the burden of our iniquities, which pressed Thee down and brought Thee into Thine unspeakable suffering and death upon the cross. In heartfelt sorrow and repentance, we cry to Thee, O Jesus, have mercy upon us poor, miserable sinners. May Thy wounds and stripes, Thy deep disgrace, Thy thorn-crowned head stand out so plainly before our souls that we may never forget our sins nor lose sight of Thy great mercy. We would have been forever lost on account of our sins if Thou hadst not had mercy upon us. We know of no other refuge, hope, or help but in Thee. Grant that, looking to Thee, the author and finisher of our faith, all of us may run with patience the race that is set before us in this life, patiently enduring whatever suffering Thou dost permit to come upon us, and hereafter, by Thy boundless grace and love, obtain the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls, and praise and glorify Thee forever and ever, world without end. And in Thy saving name, we furthermore pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. O thou faithful Lord Jesus, thou friend of sinners and helper of the helpless and the needy, who having loved thy disciples from the beginning, thou didst love them unto the end, have compassion upon us in our weaknesses. Thou knowest our hearts, that they are deceitful and desperately wicked. May we not trust in the arm of flesh, but in thee and in thy word alone. Thou hast by thy grace given us a place among thy disciples, and dost prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Strengthen us, O Lord, that we may never depart from thee, but be thine forever in deed and in truth, and have no part with the workers of iniquity, but rely on thee for help in every need, and at the last receive the crown of life everlasting through faith in thee alone as our merciful Savior and Redeemer, thou who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, forever and ever, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing verse 6 of hymn 554.